I'm starting the eighth parak, Narisa Torah, page Mem. Halimud v'hamayisa, the relationship between learning and doing. Okay, we're getting ready for Shavuos. Naseh v'nishma. Naseh v'nishma. We will do and we will hear. Klai Yisrael said by Maimon HaSinai, the ideal life of how to live. Naseh v'nishma, a commitment to doing. V'nishma. And hearing more and more, and learning more and more. But first comes the Nasa, and then the Nishma. So Rav Kook writes here, I'm not sure that this is what he's saying. They try to learn the Pshat. Hagdomas Nasa l'Nishma mitzayenes es hokaras hater mitzad skulosa ha'elokis. The fact that we said Nasa, we will do. And that word Nasa, that we said Nasa, that we're going to do, count this in, we're going to do this. The fact that we said that Nasa means that in the word Nasa, all the practical day-to-day ins and outs of Yiddishkeit, we're committed to. Nasa means every single Gemara, every Shulchan Aruch, every Rambam, every practical Totsa'ah from being Avdei Hashem is included in that one word, Nasa. So Hagdomas Nasa L'Nishma Mitzayenes Es Hokaras Atar Mitzad Skulos Elokis. The fact that we said Nasa and then Nishma means Mitzayenes indicates, demonstrates the Hokaras Atar, the great value, the preciousness of Torah. Mitzad skulosa ha'elokis. Mitzad the pnimius. Skulosa ha'elokis means the hidden, inner aspect of Torah. Yosa amashiroi lo'ikir mitzad tzarech ha'to'elas ha'maisis she'esh b'limuda. More than appreciating and loving and valuing the Torah, for the practical benefits of learning it. Right, let me try now. What does that mean? Again, I'm not sure. This is just trying. You have different explanation. I'm open for suggestions. Since when we said Nasa, and we're still trying to do that now, when we said Nasa, it meant all the possible practical ramifications of Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim, of accepting God's will. Mimela, the Nishma is left free to include in it all of the non-practical, all of the poetry, the romance, the pnimius, the depths, the elokus, the godliness, all is in that word nishma. So Rav Kook is explaining, it sounds like he's saying, is the fact that we made these two distinct Kabbalas, Nasa v'Nishma, moving from the lower to the higher, means Kikeven Shekvar. Look what he says: Kikeven Shekvar Nemar Nasa. Since with the word Nasa, we already committed ourselves to everything practical. and to learning all of the halachas, to learn that, that aspect of Torah that tells us what to do and how to live. All of that is in the word Nasa. Ki kevin shekvar nema Nasa hari ha-kishur el erach ha-limud ha-maisi hu-kvar bechlal. We already took care of our connection. It was all the Gemara learning, all the halacha learning, all the nigla, all that, all in Torah that tells us what we have to do and to understand what we're doing. L'maisa. All of that is in the word Nasa. Hukra bechlal. The nishma, so what does the nishma mean? So the nishma, we want to hear. The nishma, we want to hear. Mitzayin is a kishur al erach alimud hasguli. Indicates, demonstrates the connection, the attachment that we have to wanting to dig deeper into understanding the side, the inner dimension of Torah Sasha. So if we try to read the whole Sif again, Nasa Nishma Hakdomas Nasa Nishma Mitsayenis is Hokoras Hator Mitsat Skulosa Elokis. From the fact that we move from Nasa to Nishma, Rav Kook says, shows that there is this value, this love of Torah, mitzad, from that perspective of skulosa helokis, mitzad the pneumius, the side. Yoisa ma'asheroi lokir mitzad tzerach ha-to'elas ha-maisis yesh b'limuda. More than the appreciation and love that we have for the practical benefits or the practical advantage of keeping the halacha. He came and shekvar nema nasa hayakishal erach halimut hamaisi ukraki v'chlal. When we said nasa, we meant everything practical. And the v'nishma is mitzayin hayakishal erach halimut haskuli. This is not meaning chas v'chalila. They Rav Kook in any way is downplaying the significance of learning Shas and Poskim. Everybody here knows that Rav Kook was from the Gedolei Yisrael, the biggest Gedolei in Shas and Poskim, in Halacha. And he was constantly encouraging more and more. That's not what he's saying, God forbid, to minimize the significance of Nigla. What I believe he's saying is that we're not satisfied. We can't find satisfaction just in learning what we have to do. Like Chazal say on Parshas Bahar, the Medrash of Parshas Bahar. Chazal say that there's a difference between an eved and a ben, between a servant and a child. The servant wants to know what he has to do. He needs his instructions to know, this is what I have to do. And if he's a faithful and sincere eved, he carries out everything. He wants to understand exactly what I have to do. I don't want to make any mistakes. And that's very, very chashuv. He can't be an Eved Neman unless he learns to understand the king's instructions and he follows them very, very carefully. But there's a Madrega, Chazal say, in the parashah you see by Yovel, Chazal say there's a Madrega of Bonim. And what's the difference between an Eved and a Ben? The difference is, whereas the Eved, the servant, the slave. Whereas the Eved, if the Eved would go to places, let's say in the palace, that he's not allowed to go, the Eved would be considered to be a terrible chutzpah. If the Eved would go where he's where he's not expected to go, the Eved follows his orders. And he's told, this is what you have to do, this is where you go. That's what the Eved does. And a choshev Eved is a very, very big thing to follow his instructions. But more than that, the Eved doesn't do. Not more, not less. And he wants to know what he has to do. But you can't compare that to the child, to the Ben. The Ben, Chazal say, is Mechapis being inside the Malka. He searches in the hidden treasures of the king. He it's his father. He's not just, he can never be satisfied with just obeying and following the instructions and knowing the chomer, the material that tells him, do this and don't do that. Even though the son also has to be very careful. That's why the Chazal say that the Madrega of Eved includes the Madrega of Ben includes the Madrega of Eved, because the child has to obey. He has to obey. But obeying, if someone were to describe a family and to say, you called up for a shidduch, let's say, if you called up for a shidduch for your daughter, and you find out about this family, and they say, well, yes, what's it like? What's the family? And the person says, I'll tell you this, the kids are very, very obedient. So you say, yes. Unbelievably obedient. As a matter of fact, I've never seen any of these children in any way veer away from the slightest instructions of the parents. They're very obedient. I don't know if any of us would be ready to make a shidduch yet with the family. To say anything else besides that, the parents are fair people, they're good people. That's all nice. But we're waiting for something else. We're waiting for something that tells us more. That we're not dealing here with a king, queen, and subjects. We're dealing here with parents and children. A child is not satisfied with obedience. That's why many children, one of the reasons why children are rebellious. It's not just because of stuff. On the outside, it's oftentimes, a lot of it has to do with stuff on the inside. It's part of the chutzpah we spoke about in the Eretz Yisrael before Mashiach comes. You remember, some of you have been all the years, remember that the chutzpah before Mashiach is because the children are desperate to know more about their father. They're desperate to know more. We see everybody wants, we're going to talk a lot about this, Kabbalah and Chassidus and Pnimius. Our grandparents, if you said to them, you want to go to a shiur in Pnimius HaTorah, does how much can China know? Pnimius HaTorah. What are you talking about? Pnimius is, that's for, you know, yeah, it's, you have big tzaddikim, Pnimius, what are you're not interested? No, but mostly it was a matter of putting on sitters and knowing how to keep Shabbos and what to do and how to live and Well, that's what it was about. And the brighter the person, and the more time, and the more motivated, so they went into the more, you know, in pilpul, you know, more. But then you say to the person, so you're an obedient son. Is there something more to being a child? Is there anything more to that? So for a long time, with the exception of a few people here and there in every generation, there was really not much more to that than being good, obedient children. And there's a lot to be said for that. Again, the same way that Rav Kook is not downplaying the learning of the world of Nasa, nor would anybody in his right mind downplay the significance of obedient Jewish children. It's very, very chashuv. Parents would never also see that as something small or insignificant. That the children are good children and that they behave, and that they're respectful and they're obedient, skivaldik. But does that make a family? Is that all that a family is? What about the poetry, the romance? What about the pnimius? What about the ahava? So Chazal say that a child is not satisfied with just serving his father. The son is not just satisfied with serving his father, the king. A child is mechapis b'ginzai de malke, meaning he wants to see more in the royal treasury. He wants to go into the royal treasury, and his father wants him to go there. The royal treasury has nothing to do with money. It means into the treasury of who the father is. to enter into who the Father is, to try to understand. There's a tremendous chutzpah before Mashiach comes, like we learned in Eretz HaTshuvah, because Jews are growing impatient with living Jewish lives that consist purely of nasa, of obedience. They're growing impatient. We're on the threshold of all of the biggest secrets of Torah being revealed to us, of Yishakenim and Yishikos Piyu, of the Gemar HaMalacha, like we were talking about this morning, of Shabbos. We're on the threshold of Shabbos. It's otot going to be the whole thing. And Yidden are becoming impatient. Not that they don't want to be obedient. That's the same way with the child. The child is not Edsem a bad child. Chas HaShem doesn't want to disobey. He feels that there's something about his parents that he doesn't get. When the kid says to the parents, "You don't understand me," what he's really saying is, "I don't understand you." Right? That's what he's really saying. Because if you think about it, the chutzpah is mind-boggling. That some 14-year-old would say to his 40-year-old father and mother, or something like that, to say, "You don't understand me." And the chutzpah is unbelievable. You don't understand me. And every single, you'll excuse me, little pisha thinks that he's like a Vilna Gaon and a Rogachev to tell his parents, "I'm a very, very deep person. You have no mussig of who I am. I'm such a deep person." That's not really what it is. Mostly he's stam a shaita. What does it mean? He's a kid. What does it mean? It means, "I want to understand you. This part of me, you don't understand." And the kid's right, man. That I want to understand my parents. I want to have a kesher with my parents. I want to be closer to my parents. I want to have a closeness to my parents. My parents in this world, and my father in that world. I mean, in every world. And my father, Hashem is Baruch. I want that. So when Rav Kook spoke about, and the Gemara tells us that by the end of time, chutzpah has to be so much chutzpah. So Rav Kook explained, so everybody else is saying, they're Rishoyim, they're not keeping mitzvahs, they're throwing away Shabbos, and the chalutzim and the kibbutznikas are all eating the velas and treifas. It was a bad situation. So everybody's screaming and yelling, and Rav Kook is going around kissing everybody. And he's saying, "Ach, lech tegeidish akinder." And he was telling them, "I know what you're angry about. You're not anti-tefillin. You're not anti-Shabbos. No Jew, be'etzim, could be anti-Shabbos, anti-tefillin. It's not in him. He doesn't have it in him to be against Shabbos, to be against tefillin. He's a Jew. He doesn't have it in him. You just can't wait any longer to get something of the nishma part. You can't wait anymore. You grew up, everybody was telling you, nasa, 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 nasa. Let's do. B'seder. And okay, I want nasa, so I wanted to be able to clear that up and do all of the nasa. I would like to do all the nasa. But what about the nishma? What about the nishma?" So for years and years and years, Jews were able to go like this, generation after generation, nasa. We look at our grandparents, those who were zeichet to see them in their lives, they should live and be well. And if you can go further back, then now we have their great-grandparents, Baruch Hashem. And you can see Jews that they get to minyan every day. We talk about this all the time. They get to minyan every day. So if you go over an interview, go over to some shul. Here we don't see so many old people in our neighborhood. Go to one of the neighborhoods where you see still Alta Yidden, and you go over. Imagine yourself going over with a little machine after davening and saying to Mr. Goldstein, "Mr. Goldstein, you have a minute?" And usually he'll look a little bit annoyed. He's still maybe having his cracker with a herring, right? And you ask him, and a little schnapps, a little glass, you ask him, what is it that brings you to minyan every morning? Is it the Zohar Kodesh? Is it the Naim HaLimalach? Is it, tell me the truth, I won't tell anybody, is it Shlomo Kalibach you listen to a little bit? You listen to Kalibach or something? So he'll look at you, and with such a look of disgust, you know that look. I look at you, look at disgust. What are you asking him a question like that? He's a Yid. A Yid daven. A Yid comes to daven. What are you asking me? What are you coming? You went to a discovery seminar, Mr. Goldstein? What? You know what I mean. Eshet Torah. You did the 48 ways of Noach Weinberg, and you listened to Rabbi Friend or something, or Rabbi Krohn. You listened to a lot of tapes. So I don't know what you're talking about. I don't listen to tapes. I listen to God. And we don't understand, like, what gets Mr. Goldstein to minyan every morning for the last 89 years? What gets him to minyan? And for a long time, that got Jews to minyan. Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, all different types, all different shapes and sizes and colors and yarmulkes and hats and robes. They all came to minyan every morning. That's the chutzpah now. There's such chutzpah in the world. So now this one needs to hear, Shlomo Kalibach, this one needs to hear from Ishbitzer, this one needs to have his rabbi say, you're a good boy, shashasha, you're a good boy. You're a good boy. Oh, God loves you so much. God loves you so much. Maybe you can come to Minyan. You know God loves you. You want to come to Minyan. Our grandparents didn't need such encouragement, and they didn't need to hear the Ishbitzer. My father never heard of the Ishbitzer. And not only do they get dominion, they get dominion 10 minutes before it starts. Before it starts. And they come to the Shia, and they open up the same Mishnais, and they open up the Gemara. It doesn't have to be the new super duper Mesifta, Ayizva Hada model of the Mishnais, the Gemaras with all the things and different Zachen, and they don't come with headphones and with the computers. They're just the same Mishnais, the same Gemara they've been using for the last whatever how many years. And they give a krechts, and they open up the Mishnais, and they're there. They're just there. And there's a lot to be said for that. Avodim ne'emanim, Naseh Jews on the highest level. Naseh. Jews like that went into, they were killed, Al-Kiddush Hashem. They walked into fires, they walked into ice, whatever God wanted. Nasa. Before Mashiach comes, there's this impatience for the Venishma. So the new generations, these generations, it wasn't just now. This began very, very strong already at the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century. After World War I, it went into fast forward. Started already by the Baal Shem Tov, even earlier, by the Baal Shem Tov and the Vilna Gaon, that Tkufa. We're regular Jews. Stam Amacha. All of a sudden want to know Pnimius HaTorah, right? That's what was going on. It really began at that time of the Baal Shem Tov and the Vilna Gaon. When the Zohar HaKadosh says, when Hashem opened up the floodgates, came in, and the light came in at the end of time. And then there was this Bikush to Finishma. Finishma. So, for a long time, for some considerable amount of time, the Nasa was still holding on, and the Venishma was starting. The older generation didn't chap what's bothering the younger generation. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, of course, came in and said, this is what's going on. The Vilna Gaon was also saying, this is what's going on. But in the generation after the Vilna Gaon, it was very much tightened and held and controlled in that world. And here we are at the end of time where there are our children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who have become disobedient. When I say the end of time, I don't just mean the last couple of years. I mean, this began already a while ago. This was, like I say, every time you look at any of these old pictures, not any, but a lot of these old pictures of families that we have from the early part of the 20th century, you'll see a Zayda with a long white beard, and you see the sons without their heads covered, and the daughters with dresses very... many of them in the same family were not Bechlau, were not from. They weren't from. Ask anybody from Europe, and they'll tell you what it was. They weren't from. There was this was the Bundes and the Zionists. And it was falling apart. This is not something that just started now because they have feature articles and magazines about it. This has gone on for a while. Not that long in the picture of all of Jewish history, but it's for a while. So what's happening is that for all the years we're avadim nemanim, and the Nasa kept us coming to minyan. The difference between an Eved and a Ben is that the Ben, the child, the Chazal say, wants to search in the treasure of the father. And not only that, but the father wants him to be such a child where the child wants to have a deeper connection to understand who my father is. That's the time they were living in. The Jewish children want to understand who their father is. They want to understand their parents, want to understand Avinu Shebishamayim, to understand why do I need to understand? Because if I understand, there'll be a deeper kasha, there'll be a deeper connection. I've seen families where the parents and the children don't have much of a relationship, but the father in particular will say, do this, do that, and the child or the children will say, yes, Abba, yes, father, yes, Dad, yes, yes. If we use that mahalach now of tekifus, meaning the model of Adon ve'Eved, a parenting model of Adon and Eved, you're going to lose the kids. It doesn't work anymore. The nasa alone in a family and with a kosh baruch who's not working. It's not working. It doesn't work. There was last week in the Torah from the Tzadik Gematal Zilber, he said a Torah. Well, he didn't say last week, he was saying it earlier, 2 years ago on the B'nai Sos or something. There's an expression in Yiddish, a fatzaita sheyid. A fatzaita sheyid means an old-fashioned Jew. A fatzaita sheyid. Like the kind we were talking about before. What does it mean, a fatzaita sheyid? It means he lives in the old days. A kind of a Jew. So that's usually a very big compliment. That's a big compliment. To say a fatzaita sheyid, meaning real McCoy. Old style. So there was this tzaddik, the Machnifke, who survived the war. He's in Tel Aviv. I told him I said about him a few weeks ago. This tzaddik is not on this Machnifke. So somebody came to visit, some chassid came to the rabbi, and he brought with him an old Jew, an alti yid, came with this chassid. And the rabbi, the Machnifke, pointed to the old Jew and said, "Who is that?" So the chassid wanted to pay a compliment to the old man. He said, "Ez a fatzaita sheyid," meaning like a fatzaita chassid. He's a real chassid, like the old, not like us, you know, the real thing. A fatzaita from what used to be, that kind of a chassid from what used to be. So the machnicher said to him, to this chassid, he said, "A fatzaita chassid." He says it was Pesach time. He said, "I don't know. It says in the Haggadah, 'Mitchila oivdei avodah zarah yovel seyva.'" He said, "Afatzaita shechassid by me," he says, "is mitchila oivdei avodah zarah yovel seyva. It used to be in the old days that our ancestors worshipped idols. Va'ata, and the Rebbe repeated the word va'ata, kevana hamokim avodasa. Va'ata. What does it mean, va'ata? Now. So the Rebbe explained, and don't make a mistake, the Rebbe had great, it wasn't about that Jew. He had great love and appreciation for Fatzaita Shi. What he was saying is that mitchila, there are Jews that they don't understand the generation they're living in. They're not connected to the generation they're living in. And because of that, the children see these fathers as Ovdei Avodah Zarah. What does Avodah Zarah mean? It doesn't mean idol worship. Avodah Zarah means that their Torah mitzvah is strange to the children. Zar. It looks to them muzar. Muzar means strange. They look at their fathers putting on tefillin, and they look at their fathers saying these things, doing these things, whatever, and it looks to the children like it's muzar. Mitchila, if you're a fatzaita sheyid and you don't understand the new generation, you're not trying to understand where they're coming from, then your whole avodah is avodah zarah to them. It's strange. It's odd to them. Va'ata. The machnik has said, "I'm an old man. I also come from that place." But va'ata, we have to understand now. How is Hashem bringing us to Him right now, at this time in history? What do we need to do? What do we need to do? So Ramatul didn't say that vat. That's a vat that I still want to say for some time ago. But what Ramatul was talking about He's not, he said that there was a Yerushalmi that refused to buy a refrigerator. Not because he couldn't afford it, but when they asked him, he said he's a Fatzaita Shayyid. In other words, he's from the old style Jew, he doesn't go out for a refrigerator. This is like 30 years ago, 40 years. You know, refrigerator, so. So the wife, you understand, is stuck with this guy, and somehow it came to Reb Yidl Jikover, the Tzadik Reb Yidl Horowitz, Reb Yidl Jikover, and Reb Yidl Jikover went himself and bought a refrigerator for him, and he had the guy schlep it, and Reb Yidl came with the schleppers with the refrigerator, and he said, "This is a refrigerator for Fatzait the Shayid, this refrigerator. Here, here's a refrigerator. You make your wife crazy. You can't." That's not what it means to be an old-style Jew, an old-fashioned Jew, that you refuse to use refrigerators. So Martel said, imagine if nowadays we have, you don't have to imagine. There's a Fatzait HaShayid, that his way of parenting is when the kid comes to ask him, "Daddy, why do you want me to put on film?" The father says to him, "Because I say so." And the kid says, "That's Nancy." He says, "Yeah, I'm a Fatzait HaShayid. That's how my father raised me. My father didn't explain to me. He just said, what? I just got my orders. Nasa, I followed my orders." So Mata says, you try that nowadays with the new generation, and many people do. He says, they're lost. Finished. Doesn't work. So he says, you could scream and you could cry, but why? My father raised me this way. I was such a good boy. My father told me, do this, and I didn't ask him any kashas. My father told me to do it, and I did whatever he told me. And I don't understand what's going on with these kids, right? I don't understand. I tell him to do something, he asks me why. Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do that? So you can't live in the past in that way. You want to live in the past to have a black coat and a beard, that doesn't bother anybody. Maybe it does, but there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what we're talking about. That's the least of it. You could dress as old-fashioned as you like. That's not the point. The point is, you must understand that the tkufa is a different tkufa. And Hashem fears the Welt. He runs the world in different ways at different times. And now, Hashem is fearing the Welt in a way of children, not slaves. And a child wants to understand. And he's asking, man the stomach. And you have to talk to him. You have to talk to the child. I had a father tell me the other day, he has a very, very wonderful Ehrlicher son. He's a Ben Torah, he's a passed by mitzvah. And the child is hearing certain things in school, and Baruch Hashem, they have a very nice relationship, the parents and the child. The child comes to the father and says, and he asks him, "Daddy, why can't I look at pornography?" He comes from he's in a very chashuv yeshiva, and some of the boys, unfortunately, starting with the stuff, and the boy came to ask his father. So the father said, that told me that inside, like, he fell off the chair, he's flat on his back, and he wants to, like, take a gun, you know, shoot himself, and what's going on, what do you mean? Well, you know, you have this, you feel like just saying, "What are you talking about? I don't even know what that means. I don't know what you're talking about. There's no such thing. I don't know what that is. They have it someplace in the Orient." And if you ever hear that again, just say, you don't know what it is. You can't do that. You can't do that. I wasn't raised with explanations of things. Many of the chevy here that's older, maybe were not raised with explanations. My father never sat me down to have a schmooze, like, about anything, about this stuff. But nowadays... What? Yeah. But nowadays, it's a different kufa. And Hashem's book is being this otat to Mashiach. And Hashem's avadim, the Nase Jews, are no longer, we're no longer satisfied. We want nishma. So the fact that the kids nowadays are looking and they're asking and they're showing certain disobedience and they're rebelling against the Nase is because they're not getting enough nishma. They don't really want to rebel. That's what Rav Kook was saying all the time. They're not really there, God forbid. They have nothing against Shabbos. They have nothing against Yiddishkeit. They have nothing against mitzvahs. They have nothing against that. They have nothing against that. Makes no difference. The guy says, I don't. They have nothing against that. And when it comes to time, well, God forbid, there's a war or something, they're all davening. They're all putting on tefillin. They have nothing against it. And they want to make sure that other people are davening. Even though they don't daven, they want to make sure that Jews are davening. They can't bear the absence in their lives of Nishma. Because they want to be children, and they want to have more of a shaychis to the Father. They want to understand their Father. They want to have a kesher with their Father. I can't overemphasize this nakuda. This isn't the nakuda of our generation, of our time. So you have to take it in that context. What Rav Kook is saying here, he's not in any way denigrating, and all the problem that we're going to see pretty much from now to the end of the Sefer, where he's constantly on this theme of Nister, of Pnimius. He's not in any way putting down the study of Nigla, other rabbi. Rav Kook was promoting it all the time. But what he was saying is that Chevra, we're not going to succeed anymore just with the Nasa. It's not going to work. Because the neshama of a Jew has a deep, deep longing for the nishma. That's what I think he's saying. Let's take another look at it. Nasa v'nishma. Hakdamas nasa l'nishma. The fact that nasa comes first before the nishma. Mitzayenes es hokaras hatorah mitzatz kolos halukis. So you would think you would say this indicates to us how the practical side of Torah is the most important side. We said Nasa before Nishma. He says just the opposite. He says no. This indicates that the Hokaras, the love of Hatorah Mitzat Skulos of the Torah Mitzat Skulos Elokis, of the deeper hidden part of Torah. Why? He says Yoyisam Asheroi Lokir Mitzat Serach Hatoelas Amaisis Yesh Limuda. More than the love that we have, because the Torah is a practical manual of how to live. It's a practical book of laws. Now, the inner side, the skulos halokis, the pnimius. Ki kevin shekvar ne'amar nasa. Once we already said nasa, hari akishur el erach halimud hamasi hu kvar b'chlal. That means we already included in that. 100%, Rabbeinu Shalom, we're on board. Avodim. Tell us what to do. Give us our marching orders. We're in. We'll do it. We'll do it. But then, listen it carefully. We'll do it. So we're going to do it. But then what is it? What is it? Why are we doing it? Because we'll do it. 100%. But the nishma mitzayin is akisha el erach halimud haskul. The nishma means our attachment to the kisha. Mitzayin is akisha el erach halimud hasguli, to learning limud hasguli, which means to learn the pnimius, to have a kesher to the pnimius. So, from the talks that we've heard growing up, you would think that they only said nasa, because all of the regular shmuzen of nasa v'nishma, all the nasa v'nishma talks, which are now shmuzen, there's going to be all this nasa v'nishma talks going on all over the place. So all of the nasa v'nishma talks that we heard growing up were really Nasa. Honestly, they were really Nasa talks. They were not Nasa v'nishma. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you ask the Rebbe, and you say, Rebbe, you know, I love you, I respect you, and I don't mean to be chutzpahdik. For the last 14 years, I'm going to Yeshmuzin, and I'm going to Yoshia. And you're telling us how gevaldik that we said Nasa v'nishma, and I'm a kabbal that. Can you explain to me, Rebbe, is there eventually a nishma? You say you're always talking about nasa and nishma, and you're building up. Look what they did. They said nasa. We will do it. Before they said nishma, that's it. They said nasa. You hear that, boys? You better come to menu tomorrow morning. You better put your finger in the gemara. You better do it. And you see how our ancestors nasa. And if one of the kids say, "Okay, Rabbi, I've been doing that my whole life. What about when does the nishma? You know." What about the v'nishma? It says nasa v'nishma. What? Could you talk a little bit about, how about a shmuz, just once, about the v'nishma? One shmuz on the v'nishma. One talk about the v'nishma. All you're telling us is that look at the greatness of the Jewish people, that they said nasa before nishma. Amos! We're makabal amal chashamayim, we'll do whatever you tell us. That's unbelievable. But you'd think that they never said the second word, the Vinishma. It looks like what happens from the time of the Baal Shem Tov and it gets, is that Yidden is saying now, I'm not buying this anymore. So the Rebbe gives another talk. Okay, listen about this, how we keep this and we do that. And the kid says, I don't want to hear it anymore. I've heard that for a couple thousand years. Vinishma. It says, Nasa Vinishma. That was a promise that God gave at Mount Sinai, that there's going to be, we committed ourselves to Nasa Vinishma, and God agreed with us that we're going to live this life. So I'm my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, they're all Vinasa. And guess what? I'm the Vinishma. I'd like to hear the Nishma. I want to hear. Tell me something. Why do I keep Shabbos? Why shouldn't I look at pornography? What's wrong with it? All my friends do that. The whole world is doing that. What's wrong with that? You're not allowed to. What do you mean? It's terrible. It's disgusting. It'll mess you up your head. I know. I see a lot of nice people. Presidents, prime ministers, kings. They look like they're very successful. And I got to tell you another thing. I see a lot of Yidden. They're very, very firm. They look like they're schleppers and no huge looks. No. He's not impressed with that. It's going to mess up my head. I don't know what messes up my head. The only kid in our class that's going to Princeton is the one that's most in that Indian, that's going to the fanciest school. I don't know if it messes up my head. Yeah, but in a deep way, it messes up his head. He'll be all right. But I'm asking, why shouldn't I? What the kid wants to know from his father is, what does it mean to be a mamleches kaihanim v'goy kodesh? What is kedusha? What's kedusha? What does it mean to be holy? So the answer to that question all the years was, to be holy means don't look at pornography. And the father will bring you right. Kedusha means prushim. All right. Min harayis. Kedushim to you. But this kid is saying, I know, I'm not a fatzaita shayid, you know. I'm va'ata. Now, I'd like to understand the v'nishma part. What are you saying? You're telling me not to do something, and you're giving me these explanations. I don't get them. Or I might understand them rationally, but it's not helping me with my tithes. So the kid is asking for his v'nishma. V'nishma means, what does it mean, kedusha? What does it mean, kedusha? Not that kedusha means just the v'nasa, don't do this, don't do that. What does it mean to be a kaddish? So you say, to be a kaddish is like the Satmar Rebbe was a kaddish, the Chafetz Chaim is a kaddish. He says, I don't know, so you think I should read stories about the Satmar Rebbe? That's going to help me with this stuff? Yeah. So you read stories about the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe from the time that he was, you know, when he was a baby, if the mezuzah was covered, he would wake up and it's like out of space. It's very sweet and very beautiful, but I have no shaykhs to this. I don't feel that there's a mezuzah on the door. There's no mezuzah on the door. I don't know. And my eyes are not like the Satmar Rebbe's eyes. My eyes are, at this age already, a kid says, have seen lots of stuff. Satmar Rebbe never looked at anything in his life that wasn't holy. So, the kid's asking, what does it mean, kedusha? No, I want to know, what is the Satmar Rebbe thinking? Don't tell me what he's doing. I can read in the book what he did. Tell me what he's thinking. And how do you think? What does that mean to think that way? What is really behind it? What the kid is saying is that I want the v'nishma. And the Rav Kook spoke about in the Erez HaTshuva is that the chutzpah of the generation, the chutzpah is that they want it already. That's what he was saying. They want everything already. They're not against doing it. They're not against doing it. It's not true. Any Jew that doesn't keep mitzvah is not against doing it. They're not. They look like it. They say that. No, that's because they don't. They can't be part of that v'nasa because they thought someone told them. There's also because the great grandparents said v'nishma, and they're waiting thousands of years, and there was never a v'nishma. So the fact that old Mr. Goldstein was able to get the minion, he's able to get the minion every morning, and he goes like that, Nasa, and he's able to get the minion, and you say to him, what is it that gets you to minion? Is it Shlomo Kalabach? Is it the Dishbitz? What gets you to minion? What gets him to minion is the Venasa. That's the Nasa that gets him to minion. I mean, you look at most of these old Jews, they're not like on fire with their davening. It's mostly a 22-minute shachris. It's not like there's not like any kumzitz when they get together, you understand? They're not having the kumzitz, they don't turn off the lights and play the guitar. They don't do that. And when they watch the kids do it, they just shake their heads and they think it's weird. Because there are still those Fatsaita Shayidin that are in the Vinasa. The Nasa, very strong. But as we get closer to Mashiach, it's not, for some people it works, there are some young people now that it works for also. But for many, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And we're in this time now. So instead of screaming and yelling and complaining, that's not how it was by the Zayda, that's not how it was by the Elta Zaydas. They weren't like that. They just did what they were told to do, and they just followed, and they didn't need anything. They just read, they just learned Gemara. They didn't need to have any explanations. They didn't need to give them any talks about Emuna, just to learn and to do what they're supposed to do. You can keep on talking like that from Haidin Mizmorg, and you can lose your kid. There's not going to be anything left of all the generations of Nasi Yidin, of Kiddush Hashem that they lived. There's not going to be anything left for them. They're going to go try to find a Nishma someplace else. That's what happens. They look for a Vinishma somewhere else. That's why I told you last year. That a friend of mine is a person, an old friend of mine, that he has a stella in Brooklyn somewhere. He has a rabbanis in Brooklyn. He's a Talmud Chacham, very chashuv guy. So he has every now and then that they make a Kalabach Kabbalah Shabbos. Yes, for sure. And the people are packing in. There's no room to sit. People are coming. See, instance. Now, some of the old Rabbanim there are making his life miserable. He's telling me, not any names, but he's telling me, like, he wouldn't believe the Radifus against him. And he says that he's having this discussion with a Fatzaita Shirov, and he says, Rabbi, how long has your Bis Medrash been here in Flatbush? How many years? He says, since 1953, 54. He has a Bis Medrash over there in Brooklyn somewhere. I don't know, it's Flatbush or somewhere around there. And I said, how many people you have Friday night by davening? Depends. 25, 30. How about the Gemara sheet that you give? The daf sheet. Hems. Two. That's on a good day. Two. Does it bother you? Are you wondering why that is? What's the average age of the people that come to daven by you? His age. 75, 80. The average age of the people that come to daven. What he's trying to say to him is, it's not a question of Shlomo Kalba, not Shlomo Kalba. That's not. He's saying is that the people are looking for something, and if we don't hear what they're asking for, and if we don't understand the language of Vinishma, we're going to lose them. We're going to lose them. Now you have to understand that when it comes to pictures in the Jewish newspapers, that old rub is going to be the picture. You know, his picture is going to be there every now and then, by Chasnif from the Enikul. That's not really there. That's Mitchila over there, Zahariyo, the same. That's not where it's happening. He's a very fine Jew. He's a Talmud Chacham. But he's a Fatzaitish Talmud Chacham. From then, he's not hearing that there's something else that the generation is looking for. And as long as it's going to be ignored in the yeshivas and in the communities and in the shuls, it's going to be ignored, we're going to be losing our children. We're not losing our children to the internet. We're losing our children to the Nasa of a Nishma that's not there. If the Nishma would be there, of course, the internet is an unbelievable danger, and we have to do whatever we can with it, whatever. But if there would be a Nishma, from the time that they're little of a Nishma, they wouldn't have time or any interest for the other stuff. They'd be so filled with the Nasa of a Nishma of being Jews. That's the program. It's a program of Nasa v'nishma, not just Nasa. It's not just Nasa. So Rav Kook is not Chalila saying over here. When you first read it, it sounds like, what's what you mean? Saying like we get the Nasa out of the way and now we can get onto the v'nishma? It's not Chas v'shalom. He says, of course you have to learn the practical, and you have to, and we enjoy that. We love that. We love learning the practical part of Torah and keeping it, of course. But when we say the word v'nasa, nasa doesn't only mean just to physically do. It means to do and to learn all the stuff that we need to learn in order to do. Which means shas and poskim. We'll learn all of that. Then we go to the v'nishma, which is the most precious. Now, what Rav Kook is going to be talking about in a few prokim is how, before Mashiach comes, the limud, the learning of the nigla, the learning of the tzad ha-maisi, the practical, has already become infused with the v'nishma. Is already with the v'nishma. That's the Ragachov, that's Rav Chaim Brisker, even contemporaries, and Rav Kook himself. That the nigla is no longer pure nigla. The nigla is in a way of the nigla itself has in it already a tzad of nistar. Mitzvah Shavuos night. I'm going to be talking about that the whole night. This inyan of the nigla and the nistar. Okay.